Cannabis Business Minds, we train and mentor professionals, entrepreneurs, and aspiring entrepreneurs on how to confidently find their place in the legal cannabis and hemp industries. Come on and join us at CannabisBusinessMinds.com.
Hello, Cannabis Business Minds. All right, so today we are going to be talking about the big F. Fundraising, which should be fun, but oftentimes is quite stressful for your cannabis business, right? This is a topic that I think many entrepreneurs are very interested about, especially knowing that, you know, some of the startup costs for cannabis businesses, if you're operating on the supply chain, all that kind of stuff, right? So what I want to talk to you about on this podcast episode is why you need, you know, why do you need to do fundraising, right? Making sure that you really are in that category of fundraising, that you're in the right level of that fundraising, all that. Lessons learned from the fundraising that I've participated in, right? So I participated in large fundraising outside of the cannabis industry when I was in public accounting, right? IPOs, all that kind of stuff. I participated in startup rounds and seed rounds in the cannabis industry. And so I'm going to tell you some of the lessons that I've learned from there. And then I also actually did some of my own fundraising as well. So I can share some of my tips and insight there. What you need to have as part of your arsenal, if you are really deciding to, you know, raise capital and kind of start up, even if you're not starting up, if you're operating. And then the people that you want to have on your team, you know, if you are really fundraising, this, my friends, is not a solo journey. You want to make sure that you have the right people in your team. So that is what we'll be covering in this podcast. If that sounds good to you, make sure that you get your notebook, your pen, all that kind of stuff, and get excited for some fundraising. All right. So let's get into it. So why do you need to fundraise? So oftentimes we think that starting a business requires capital. And oftentimes that is very correct, right? Because starting a business does require capital. It requires, depending on what type of business that you're doing, it requires capital to, you know, get your legal ducks in a row, hire the right professionals, get your marketing in place, get your website up, get your infrastructure built, right? And so when you start a business, no matter what business it is, you want to have that startup budget. You want to have a clear understanding of how long it's going to take to get to profit, to get to cash flow positive. And usually when you've understood that by building out financial projections, that's when you can really understand, okay, this is how much I'm going to need to start successfully, right? So everybody needs some money up front, right? And how we get that money is going to be very different, right? Because if you're starting an online business, maybe you need 500 to 1,000 in startup capital with hardly any marketing budget, right? But if you're starting a cannabis dispensary from the ground, you could be asking for a few million dollars. And so where the fundraising comes into play is how are you going to be funding that business, right? Funding your business traditionally, you know, some people might take out a loan from the bank. Well, in the cannabis industry, we know that that is not going to be happening because it's still federally illegal. So what do? People resort to, doing a family and friends round, right? Raising money through family and friends. I've never worked on it, but, you know, I've seen something, but not plant touching necessarily. I've seen crowdfunding, right? People could raise money from private investors or go through a private equity firm or a venture capital firm, right? And so there's definitely different avenues for receiving funds, right? So why do you need to do fundraising? You need to do it to make sure that you will be able to start your business successfully. Or if you're already operating, you want to do it because you are at a capacity where you need to scale and you need more resources to do so, right? So those two reasons are usually why somebody would do fundraising. The type, the amount of that, the money that you're requesting or that you would, you know, need for your business will depend on who you're going after and who could be interested in you, right? So if you're looking for $25,000 versus $5 million, that's a very different ask first, right? A very different audience that you're going to be asking for and different things that you're even going to need in your arsenal, right? So the first thing, if you are even considering fundraising for a business, for your cannabis business, is to understand, you know, what's your startup budget or the money that you're kind of requesting and who's the appropriate audience to actually go do that fundraising for, right? So that's tip number one. So as you know, one thing that it's important to note is that when you fundraise, if you're saying, oh, I need $5 million, right? Well, $5 million is going to be, you know, if you are requesting money from anybody, if it's a loan and you pay it back with interest, that's one thing, right? It puts you at a different financial exposure. Or if you say to investors, hey, I want I'm asking for $5 million and in exchange, this is how much you will get of my company, right? So those two different areas, are you going to request something that is considered a debt instrument where you would be likely to pay that investor or those investors back at, you know, a certain rate with interest? Or would you be more inclined or would they be more inclined to give that money as a buy-in, right? Equity buy-in to the company or potentially a hybrid where some of that debt could convert to equity, right? So as you can see, the technicalities of the actual fundraising are very important, not only for you as a business owner to understand what financially that impact is to you, but there's legalities associated with all this kind of stuff. And it's important to understand the major differences in it, right? So your liability also is quite different if you owe debt to a lot of people versus if they actually are part of your business, right? So as you can see, fundraising already, right? As we get into like a few minutes of this, is a complicated subject. So imagining you've got all the technicalities figured out, and that's why you hire professionals that have done this before. Lawyers, CPAs, professional advisors, right? That can kind of walk you through this path because you're dealing with money, you're dealing with transactions. There's a lot of regulation that you have to deal with. So forgetting those technicalities right now, what I want to tell you is about my experience helping people with fundraising and some of the successful measures that they took, that we took together to really make sure that we were successful in the fundraising amount, right? And the first thing is, first and foremost, is building out your investor relations, right? If you, it's just like sales. Like I consider a lot of this very similar to sales. So if you are looking to raise capital, you can't just go to the yellow pages, thumb through a little book and say, yeah, these are the people that I'm going to reach out to and just cold call them. You could, right? It wouldn't be on the yellow pages. It might be on some websites where you can kind of stalk some investors, right? But that is going to be a very cold lead for you, right? When I say cold lead, think about it in sales. Like you've got no relationship, like, you know, you've got nothing established. So going in there and asking for money, you will most likely not get anywhere with that, right? And so the biggest thing is you want to start, if you are already anticipating that you're going to be fundraising, that you want to start building relationships, right? Building relationships with people that are likely to know investors, that are part of investor networks, right? That could be a referral source, right? You want to make sure that you are building your relationships in a way that is helping you grow one way or the other, if you're investing or not, right? And so defining a plan, your kind of your investor relationship roadmap, is going to be essential for you, right? Not that you need to know 150 investors, but really understanding, you know, who do you want to have in your network? How can you actually get them in your network? What type of introductions can you get to them? You know, what type of relationship do you want, right? Because not that, again, it's like you don't go on a first date and ask somebody to marry you. This is a relationship that you're building. You are building relationships here, right? And so making sure that you already have a strategy for investor relations. And so this is oftentimes why business owners want to find people that can connect them to investors, right? So that is where we see, you know, some kind of groups that are already building investor networks that will might invite you in so you can pitch to these investor networks, right? So they are kind of the middle liaison, if you will, between, you know, business owner, entrepreneur seeking capital and the actual capital, right? So getting that investor plan, it is key, right? If you are going to be fundraising regardless, right? You know, if you're fundraising 25K, okay, we'll still get that plan in place if it's friends and family, right? Like you still want to have that plan. Number two is storytelling, right? And storytelling is a very important part of pitching, right? Right. Imagine breaking out a 10 slide PowerPoint, right? You go through it. It's pretty dry. We've all seen these PowerPoints. We've all experienced the dryness, right? Again, we are trying to convey our story, get people excited, get people to buy in to the bigger vision of why you need that money, of what impact you are going to make, right? And so storytelling and communication are really important as it relates to your fundraising, right? How are you actually doing your pitch? What message are you conveying? What story are you telling? People will be hooked on a story much more, right? It kind of goes back to sales, like trigger more emotions, trigger that feeling that you want them to feel. Like in the end, your goal is to, with this, you know, with your investor, if you're pitching for the first time, it would be great if you could hear a yes immediately. And maybe that is, you know, the route that you would go on. But again, it's them to get interested in your vision, in where you've already been able to kind of what you've been able to achieve and where you want to go, right? They want to make sure that what you're doing is going to be successful today, tomorrow, 5 years, and 10 years from now, right? And if you have an exit plan, of course, that would be part of it, but that's not part of the story, right? The story is the mission. The story is the vision. The story is that bigger area of what you want to accomplish with your business idea, with the business that you're operating, right? So, oh yeah, we are a cultivator. Okay, let's tell a better story. We are producing strains that are supporting, you know, that are supporting trauma victims with PTSD. And we've been able to help X amount of people that have gone through post-traumatic stress, right? And that is just, I just thought of that, right? Like that's not even level 10 of where that story could be, right? But do you see the big difference of, oh yeah, we're a cultivator. We've got a 10,000 square foot facility. Okay. Those are facts, but tell me something more. Why are you different? And so market differentiation is point number three. Market differentiation is so important for you as a business owner, right? We are unfortunately in a competitive market space. Ancillary providers, cannabis businesses, you know, with social media, I think there's so much. There definitely is that blue ocean strategy of where you can be different, right? And that's why we have to focus so much on kind of our value proposition and really understanding kind of where we are different from our competitors. But ultimately, we have to explain to these investors why we are different, right? What is it about our service? What is it about our product that really makes us unique, that makes us special, that is worth investing in? Right? Because that you have to be able to communicate. Now, not only is it going to be kind of like a required slide, right? When you actually have your pitch deck, but you have to know why you're different. You can't be that 10,000 square foot cultivator. Like that's not your market differentiation, right? It is something stronger. It's something bigger, right? So with those kind of things, right? So of course you want to tell the story. You want to have the market differentiation, right? Like you've got a pitch deck, problem, solution, target market, market research, revenue streams, like all that kind of stuff. Those are the, you can find them. You can probably, you know, go on Cannabis Business Minds. I'll make sure that I have a download for you of like what a pitch deck could be, right? That, those are kind of that's the framework, but it's how you deliver that framework. It's how you think about that framework when you are talking and you're pitching to these investors. What I have seen, and it makes me sad, and this was, I guess, a reason why I'm also doing my podcast about this, is that an investor wants to see numbers, 100%. That is a needed thing. That's on the list, right? But you need to have a business plan, a very thought out business plan that kind of talks about your market differentiation, how you're going to reach your target market, how you're going to market, what's your strategy, how are you going to sell, right? Because your financials are a tool, right? So an investor is going to require to see startup financials, right? Your startup budget, probably 3 years of your operating costs and your cash flow and your profit and loss statement, right? They're going to want to see that. But what I've realized is that when people come to me and ask me for that, they actually don't have a business plan. Numbers have to follow a business plan, right? You can't just, there's certain things for sure that, you know, I'm like, okay, well, if you're operating a cultivation, and it's indoor and it's 10,000 square feet. Okay. These are some of the things that you're going to need 100%, right? But if you don't have a sales plan and you don't know how much you're going to be producing, right? Because you haven't thought that out operationally, then what happens is that you're kind of just guessing where your financials are, right? You're not really thinking it through. And so having solid financials and knowing where you are going, again, year one, year three, year five, right? They usually care about three. Some investors will prefer kind of five, but so much changes in 5 years, right? So 3 years. So you can show them market growth, you know, what your sales plan is, how you're converting, what type of operating costs you're going to be needing, what kind of payroll you're going to be needing, what kind of marketing you're going to be needing to generate operationally and produce and also to sell, right? And so your financial projections are so important, but what's more important is than having a set of financial projections is that you've thought those financial projections out, that you have literally considered as much as you possibly can, because it is, again, a projection, right? But that you have considered your strategy and you've really thought it through so you can talk to your financials. I see so many business owners that get kind of like head in the sand, ostrich, not wanting to feel empowered about this very important part of the fundraising process. We're fundraising. We need money. We need to know why we need that money and how we're going to repay that money, right? So the financials are such an important part about fundraising. The other thing that is inessential in a cannabis business is that somebody on your team has cannabis expertise. You know, cannabis is a very unique industry. Producing cannabis, cultivating cannabis is not like cultivating peas or oranges or wine even, right? There is a special expertise needed. Extracting cannabis, a special expertise needed. Even, you know, selling cannabis and understanding kind of consumer needs and health needs, a special expertise is needed, right? So pitching a cannabis business without anybody, even on your board or, you know, advisors, without cannabis expertise, in my mind, is not setting out your business up for success, right? So it's important that you understand who and what type of expertise you need to be successful in your business. And that always should be kind of included as part of, you know, the fundraising process, right? Like making sure that you've got that person, right? If you're going to open up a dispensary and you don't have anybody on your team that's ever run retail at a large level, brick and mortar, let alone somebody that has cannabis expertise and compliance, how are you going to be successful in your business, right? So it's a very important thing for you to really consider of like who you need on your team, right? And so, you know, that gets me kind of to my next point of what do you need like in this fundraising thing, right? So you probably know these answers because they're pretty easy. You need a pitch deck, which really is, you know, a business plan, right? You need financials and you need a network. Three quite simple things at the surface level, but much harder, right? So when you think about your pitch deck, when you think about your business plan, it is so important to really nail down every aspect of it. Your team is one of the biggest areas that an investor is going to look at, right? Yes, are you solving a problem, right? Are you different by you're solving the problem? Do you know who you're targeting? Do you have a sales plan that a sales and marketing plan that can penetrate to your target market? Are your product offerings and solutions unique, right? What are your revenue streams? What's your financial budget, right? What do you need to start up? What's your return? What are you making the first year, 2 and 3? What are some of the key performance financial indicators? Who's on your team? Who is on your team is so important because if an investor, everything else is kind of like, this is our strategy. But if you don't have the people to implement the strategy effectively, who have done it before, who have the experience, it is going to be very hard for an investor to want to give you money, right? So making sure that you got that arsenal of people on your team, right? People so important on your team if you're fundraising, to make sure that you are successful, right? Financials we talked about. So again, you're going to need a solid set of financials, sales strategy, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, this is if you are fundraising from external capital, or even if you are like fundraising for yourself. Like if you're fundraising on your own, like you are transitioning, you have savings, maybe you do a little bit of friends and family, y'all, you need to know very well what you are doing, how you're operating, all that kind of stuff. And the amount of money you're going to need to be successful in that operation before you start, like you have to. If you don't, yes, there are success stories of people who did it, who just flew from the seat of their pants and were able to gain market share and go crazy, but it's not often, right? So it's very important that you really, really focus on that, okay? And, you know, I want to close this up with some of the advisors that you need on your team, right? Because if you approach me, hey, Simone, I need you to help me with fundraising. I'd say, okay, here's how I can help. I can't help with all of the things. You need to have professionals that understand, legal professionals that understand not only business structuring, but have gone through what that the contracts will look like, the operating agreements, when you actually fundraise. You're getting into you are sharing part of your company with other people, right? You need to make sure that you're protected, that the operating agreements are solid, that you have an understanding of exactly how that is going to look, right? So a legal team is very important, right? From a legal tax perspective, a legal fundraising perspective, like you and contract perspective, you need to have solid representation to help you with fundraising. Clearly, you need financial advice, accounting, all that kind of stuff, right? Again, tax, somebody that really gets tax and has done fundraising before, somebody that can really help you navigate your financial projections and make sure that they are, you know, very accurate, given the, you know, given IRC 280E, compliance, startup costs, all of that. And then you do want to have somebody, right? That can help you facilitate conversations with investors, right? And so that is, you know, a lot of people will go to like one of those investor networking groups or whatnot, but just that to me is like, you can have a business plan and financials, but if you can't get introductions or if you can't get leads to investors, that's where it's going to be really hard, right? And so there are so many great podcasts that you can hear about how people did fundraising outside of cannabis. I will see if I can get one of, you know, walking us through kind of fundraising and how to's and kind of that process on a cannabis business mind. So y'all, those are some of the most important things when you are thinking about fundraising for your cannabis business. You know, I covered a lot. I would love for some feedback. I'd love to know if you are considering fundraising or if you've actually gone through the fundraising process and if there's anything that you want to share or you want to highlight in on the podcast. I would really, this is such an important thing that a lot of people feel unaware about. They feel uncertain. They feel afraid. They feel lost in this process. And it doesn't need to be, right? There, it's definitely a roadmap to getting capital and finding all that stuff. And if you have any insight that you'd like to share, shoot me an email at Simone@cannabisbusinessminds.com. And we can discuss how we can incorporate that into the podcast or any of that kind of stuff. If you like this podcast, please give it a 5-star review over on iTunes. Leave me a comment, please. I would love it. It would help me kind of show up in the rankings a little bit more. And share it on social media. If you found this valuable, make sure that you take a screenshot, post on Instagram, tag me on IG, cannabisbusinessminds.com or cannabisbusinessminds.com and on LinkedIn as well. Thank you again for listening to this episode of Cannabis Business Minds. I am so excited to hear about your journey in fundraising, and I hope this helped. Thanks so much for listening to this week's show. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you enjoyed this, leave us a 5-star review. Make sure that you share this episode on your social media and tag us in the Instagram stories. You can find us wherever you go on social media. Just look up Cannabis Business Minds. Have an idea for the show or something that you want to talk about? Shoot us an email at podcast@cannabisbusinessminds.com.